Blog Talk Radio.
The new voice for you. EOTM has the most outstanding public relations firm that will suit your needs as well as your budget. Thanks to EOTM Radio and staff, EOTM has climbed the ranks, reaching over 1 million listeners worldwide. Not only is EOTM Media Group mutually respected for its amazing quality, but also for their branding and marketing expertise. Everyone in the industry needs PR and marketing, so with that said, if you or someone you know needs PR or marketing solutions, contact Carla Barnes, Head of Marketing and Branding, at 213-290-3573, or visit her website at www.eotmmediagroup.com, or join her blog at www.eotmblog.com. What's that? You're interested in hearing a few live shows? Visit our radio page at www.eotmradio.com. Thanks for your time. This commercial is brought to you by EOTM Radio and Classic City Records.
Make it if you just
Talk Radio.
EOTM Radio. Entrepreneurs on the move, reshaping life for a better tomorrow.
BX, stand up, EOTM. You like that? Word up. No, I do voiceovers too. Word up. Get it in. EOTM. Destined for greatness.
Check it out.
Make no mistake, for honest and true, it's time to step up, get on the move with entrepreneurs.
Talking about
Carla B, Sweet T, Mocha D, they focus, G, like a lady supposed to be. 9 to 10, Monday to Thursday, you get sacked in the first place, in the worst way. Oh, don't forget Sunday too.
Nah.
Myroglyphics, hooks that scatters dreams. Romulus, a boss with the lock on books and magazines. For clear advice, Taylor Price. Most people think like she do, but they ain't there as nice.
Nope.
These divas are sassy, built for how and whatever it takes to do. Teach you how to flip a mortgage, yo, that's motivational. No vision and people perish. Blog talk radio, controlling a deeper fetish. The mission, to create a system supportive to network. Like when Bam Bada first met her. Life is not frightening when you're empowered to do the right thing. We encourage your enlightening. Career voices help you guap it up and live lively. New York, ATL, Chi-Town, and the IE. So sit back, relax, and come on board with the best. Sincerely yours in success.
Y'all know what it is.
Y'all know what it is.
Carla B, what up?
Entrepreneurs on the move.
On the move. On the move.
Yeah. It is what it is, y'all.
It is, y'all.
Blog Talk Radio. Yeah. Your man Ferron.
Woo! Woo! Woo!
Yo.
Good evening. Good evening, y'all, and welcome back to EOTM Radio. This is your girl, Carla B, a.k.a. the Motivational Mortgage Diva, my co-host, Mocha D, your Motivational Latte, as well as Sweet T, the Sassy Diva, is holding the show down with me tonight, y'all. And we are just always happy as ever to be back here on air with our friends, continuing our mission to encourage, empower, and enlighten minds in 2009 and beyond. And if you are new, if y'all are new to the podcast, make sure before you exit our radio page tonight, subscribe to receive alerts to future shows. We do have a wealth of greatness that will be emitting from this site, and you don't want to miss it. Make sure you bookmark EOTM Radio, and while you're at it, you can click on the links and visit EOTM's newest media outlet, EOTMnetwork.com, and make sure you add us as a friend on your MySpace, your Twitter, Facebook pages as well. We are all about increasing networks because we know that it increases your bottom line, and that's a great thing, for real. Mocha D, my girl on the West Coast, what's crack-a-lackin' out there, girlfriend?
I can't even complain. Mocha D is in the house. Feeling real good. You understand how much it's raining out here? It is like almost flooding out here because I live kind of like in a pocket of Cali out here. I can't tell. I got to keep that disclosed. You know what I mean? I don't need no stalkers out here. But some people out here really don't like me. Hey, can you believe there's people out here that don't like me? Don't like me. One of the most lovable people in the world. No, but
why not, Mocha D?
No, I don't know. You know, people got their issues. They got their issues. But you know what? It's pouring down so hard out here. I'm telling you, you got to love somebody right now because this is the type of weather where you need to be cuddled up and cozy and the fireplace. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. I don't have nobody, so I'm just cold.
Wow. Wow, that's definitely not a great way to be, but hey, at least you're cold by yourself. You could be cold. Anyway, Sweet T, help me out here, girlfriend. Help me out. What's good with you?
Well, I ain't no be cold. My anniversary coming up.
Valentine's Day. I'm be nice. It's cozy and toasty. He wish I am every night. But anyways, let me keep it PG.
Yes, please. Please keep it PG.
Well, that's a good thing, though. Being married, you can represent.
Oh, yeah.
That. It sounds like I'm laying
up
with somebody off the street. So I'm representing God's name. But, hey,
what's up, sweetie?
You're talking to. Hey, I'm going to keep a true E Hollywood story.
That's definitely what's up. Well, that's great to have you back, sweet tea. You've been on vacation for a minute, but it is always great to have my girls, all of my girls, just holding the show down. Just want to put some stuff out there to the people. Our phone lines, they're already jam-packed. We will open up the lines shortly. This is going to be a 90-minute segment. This is the second of a series of shows we will air on the topic. So please, please be patient if you guys are trying to dial in. The dial-in number, for those of you that don't know, is 718-664-6543. I believe our chat room should be open as well. So go ahead and get acquainted people, definitely, and getting down to business. The topic of discussion tonight, of course, is the Black Church Part 2, prosperity preaching. And before we get started, I do want to mention a couple of things. Number one, I want to mention to all the listeners that chimed in on yesterday, thank you for coming back to us tonight. We had a little bit of technical difficulties, but we are back. You can't stop us. You can't stop us. So we are definitely back. Yes, ma'am, and I want to mention that this discussion tonight is about the Black church. We are not saying that the things that we'll be discussing doesn't happen in white churches. However, we, as far as the whole crew on EOTM, we are choosing to speak only about this issue because it is one that we are better acquainted with. I also want to mention that, as we all know, God is not the author of confusion but of peace. So all the wicked witches in the background that's laughing, stop it. The segment is meant to open minds, not cause conflict, sweet tea. So considering the way of the world, I'm just messing with your girlfriend.
Be nice today.
Okay, I'm just kidding. Considering the way of the world, we did feel it necessary. However, actually we felt, considering that we do have this awesome media outlet here on Blog Talk, that is our responsibility to bring to the forefront things that are affecting our communities. The Black churches are very powerful forces in the African-American community and always have been, because religion has been that one place where you have an imagination that no one can control. In the past couple weeks preparing for this show, we received numerous emails from our listeners, questions that they have, statements that they would like to make, and we will be posing some of those questions and others to our panel members if time permits. I want to, at this time, introduce some of the individuals on our panel, and not some of them, all of them. Of course, we have our very own Mocha D. Y'all know her. We have Monique of the singing group Debonair. Mocha D and Monique are both repping the West Coast. We'll have YouTuber Kevin Oliver, a.k.a. Not Your Typical Negro, that'll be chiming in, as well as fellow YouTuber, our good friend Evelyn, a.k.a. Faith and Reasons. We also have a couple other special panel guests from the Yahoo group, Word to the Wise. I believe we may have someone in the chat room with links to that group for those of you that are wanting to keep this discussion going after tonight's segment. Definitely feel free to get acclimated with them. That's Word to the Wise. And friends, I want to say thanks again for giving us a portion of your evening, of your Monday evening, especially Evelyn, because I know she was with us for a good portion last night while we were having those little technical difficulties. We do realize that this is a time that you all spend, you know, with your family and loved ones. So, again, we wanted to thank you for joining us. We're going to go ahead and go around the table, if you will, and make introductions to everybody on the panel tonight. So anybody can jump in first. Ladies, gentlemen, anybody? I know I got everybody unmuted. I don't think we're having any technical difficulties. What's up, y'all? Sweet tea.
I'll go ahead and introduce myself.
Oh, my goodness. I'm like, come on now. Thanks, Evelyn.
Yeah, I'm Evelyn. I'm so glad to be here. I'm humbled by the invitation to be fellowshipping with some very intelligent young ladies who are motivated. And I basically spend my time taking care of home and my I'm a homemaker, and I also have a ministry where I assist Christians who have experienced spiritual abuse at Corrupt Ministry, and that's pretty much all of it.
Okay. You got to break it up there.
Yeah, but I think we got the gist of it. I don't know if somebody's on speakerphone, but if anybody is, definitely take it off. We're not going to go ahead. We're not going to introduce the host because, of course, everybody already knows Monique, Mocha D, and Sweet T. But we do have somebody else on the panel, I believe, on the West Coast also. Do we still have Jesse on, or did he get dropped off? Okay. All right. Well, I think he got dropped off. So Jesse, definitely feel free to chime back in. Do we have Mocha D? Okay, I think Mocha D got dropped off too. Go ahead and dial back in, you know, if you can, Mocha D, but we're going to go ahead and get started. As far as the format tonight, and unlike part one, tonight we'll be specifically targeting one topic, which is prosperity preaching, how some feel that this form is deceitful and deadly, while others feel that it's God's plan for our lives to be rich. We'll have everybody on the panel voice their opinions, and then we can open it up for a debate. And also, in the interim, we can get some feedback from the chat rooms, the instant messengers, and take some calls from our listeners on this. There has definitely, you know, been tons of questions sent to us from our listeners in regards to prosperity preaching. The first question will be used as an icebreaker, if you will, and I would love for, if we have any pastors that preach on prosperity preaching, definitely would love you to call in and answer this question in particular, but I'll pose it, and then we'll get some feedback from some of our panel members. And my question is this: why would you want to develop a ministry focus that makes it harder for people to enter heaven? And that's a question that I'm posing to the pastors out there that preach prosperity preaching. I know that we had a couple of different emails from a couple of different pastors that was going to be chiming in, haven't chimed in as of yet. But anybody on the panel, you could definitely go ahead and touch on that question or anything else pertaining to prosperity preaching. And Evelyn, you can go ahead and start.
Okay. I guess I agree with the email that the prosperity heresy does make it that much more difficult for believers to be sanctified and to be saved and to be right with God, because it's actually a false gospel. And in Galatians 1, it says that the reward of a false gospel is damnation or condemnation. So, and then also this false gospel has a false Christ. It doesn't have the Christ of the scripture. It has a different Christ that is all about fulfilling your material desires and things like that. So you have people, you're producing people after a false Christ with a false gospel. And when you do that, you're taking people down that broad road to destruction instead of guiding them to the good shepherd down the narrow path. So this prosperity heresy does most definitely make it that much more difficult for believers to be saved. It's already difficult to be saved on the narrow path because the path is narrow. So when you take people down that broad road, you're basically really, really making it that much more difficult for them to be in right standing with God. So I agree with that, you know, totally.
Right. Great points. I want to ask, Mocha D, do we have you back?
Yeah, I'm on the line.
Okay. Well, did you hear the question that was posed?
Yes, I did. I hear the question, and I heard what she said, and I think I agree that's a great point also. I'm going to come, of course, on another way of looking at things. Like what we were saying at the last show, I'm really sorry that we had a bad show yesterday because there was some great information, and I hope everyone could even repeat that. It was some great information, but I'm looking at it on another level. Whereas the media, the government, not necessarily media, but the government has intentionally taken parts in the church. They have intentionally went out there and got some of these preachers to do certain things and say certain things, speak in different manners, and if they don't, there's severe consequences for that. There's different messages that has been mandated for pastors to go through. And it's unfortunate, but some of these things are being mandated for the pastors to speak. Now, those who take part of that, of course, they're not serving God righteously anyway, and there's a special place for those particular people. But that's pretty much what's happening in a lot of cases. Are you with me?
Okay. I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am, I am. I know that we were, I'm getting some different emails and instant messages with some questions from some of the listeners in regards to prosperity preaching. But before I even go into that, I want to open it up and see if the other person on the panel was on. I think it's Jesse. Did we lose him?
Yeah, we did lose him. But he did leave a point before he left. He told me to include the point in which, if the panel don't mind, I'll speak on his behalf. He did leave a point that the prosperity preaching, he was saying, is mandatory because a lot of people, though they want to get to heaven and they even if they believe that there is treasures in heaven, it's very important that we get everything that we need here on earth. So they can elaborate on that if they want.
Mocha D, question for you. Someone in the chat room, and someone that's listening to the segment, his question to you was, did you say that pastors that preach prosperity preaching, did you say they're going to hell?
No, I did not say they were going to hell. If I did, I apologize. No, I didn't mean that they were going to hell. What I'm saying is if they have given in until that way of preaching, then those doctrines of demons, then, well, they have to answer to my father. You know, they have to answer to, and I say again, my father.
Okay. All right, and I could definitely appreciate you breaking it down like that. I do want to pose a question to Evelyn. I know, you know, in the segment last time we had everybody on, you shared with us what you felt as far as prosperity preaching and how you felt it was more so like a cult. Would you elaborate on that a little bit further, Evelyn?
Sure. A cult, basically, it's a group of people who are controlled by a charismatic leader. Now, if you're calling yourself a Christian, a believer of Christ, then you're supposed to have the mind of Christ, and you're supposed to follow after Christ, listen to his voice, and do what he says. But in a cult, I find that the people parrot what the leader says. They don't speak according to the Spirit of God. They don't speak according to what Christ taught. They speak according to what their teacher taught. And when you run into prosperity followers, you're basically not talking to them. You're talking to the leader that they follow. You know, you run into a person that follows Creflo, you're basically talking to Creflo because they parrot whatever their leader tells them. And that's what makes it a cult, because it's not revelation from God. It's indoctrination from man. So I hope that clarified that for you.
Very well.
Mocha, did you want to add something to that?
No, I mean, I just love when she's on the show. She's point blank, and she's absolutely right. I'm in full agreement with what she's saying. You're absolutely right, and God bless you for the clarity. I appreciate that.
No problem.
Wow. Okay. Well, what I want to do really quickly, you guys, because we're waiting on a couple other individuals to chime in, so what we're going to do is take a really quick break, and then we'll come back with another question on prosperity preaching, and hopefully we'll have our a couple other panel members that are missing. We'll have them back on, so hold tight, y'all.
To the left, I inject perfection and suck the nectar right out the track board and give you what you ask for, what you lack, dog. Tell the skilled rapper, dude, cold with the flow, lower the windshield factor, put it down on Mr. Magnificent's album. Mike screaming back at me like, yo, spit that song. I'm international, but I'm BK bomb. Flex and drop a bomb, Jeff, give me that napalm. I take a hot track and turn it into a great song. Glide on it like I got Raven 8 skates on. Won't even take long. chef homeboy ID. I get my fricassee and my bacon. Kel spit it vicious. Forget about it. You stuff from my food for thought. Slick with the dishes. Your boy on a mission. My position. Be the definition of a real MC. I'm what the game's missing. Take a listen. Learn the definition of a real microphone checker. Kel the hot boy. I bring the BK pepper. Cause the spice of life is variety. I got a plethora. Start competition like the Q Dog Stepper. Spit for everybody. Raheem's to Becker's. Bricks to the suburbs. Take a peek at my words. Jeff and Kellen them is killing them out there. I study y'all. What are y'all doing out there? Y'all perpetrating and piggybacking and copycatting. But y'all be copycatting, sloppy rapping. And y'all be latching on the fads. Nothing substantial. Y'all mini me spitting. I'm the gargantuan. I got the flavor, neighbor. Taste my diction from Spence. As intense as my MySpace addiction. You snooze, won't pay dues, but I'm paying mine. New York state of mind, universal way to rhyme.
Your boy on a mission, my position, be the definition.
I'm a real MC,
I'm what the game's missing. Take a listen, learn the definition.
I'm a real MC,
I got the goods, bake them up in the kitchen. The true definition.
I'm a real MC,
I'm what the game's missing. Take a listen, learn the definition. As an MC, I promise you that I ain't gon' never do the stuff they do. This to my heart, pinky swear it's true. It's the bullshit going on,
A microphone checker, never one dimensional, baby. I got a collector, sism in my ear. I could stare here to there, ubiquity Roy Ayers to return of the Mecca. Capitalizing on my time and my talent. My faith and my street smarts help me keep the balance. But I ain't a Libra, so I'm speaking for the scale tipping. And I won't miss a day, doggy, call me Kel Ripken. It's slim pickings, Jim, I've been through thick and thin. I'm tired of getting overlooked and y'all picking them.
As an MC, I promise you that I ain't gonna never spit the new do that they do.
Definition of a real MC. Definition of a real MC. Definition of a real MC. Definition of a real MC.
NJFoodStamps.com. Everyday people use food stamps.
On KMS and HFS in 3 days.
Welcome back, everybody, to the segment, The Black Church Part 2, Prosperity Preaching. We're definitely going to just continue and just dive right back into the segment. We have received so many different emails with the different questions when it comes to the topic, and we're posing a couple of different questions to the panel members. I have one in particular that was just sent, and anyone in the on the panel, and then if we have some listeners or individuals in the chat room that wants to respond to this, you could definitely do that. The question is this. Do not develop a philosophy of ministry that encourages vulnerability to moth and rust. And this particular listener goes on to say, Jesus warns against the effort to lay up treasures on earth he tells us to be givers, not keepers. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth or rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Yes, we all keep something. We all keep something, but given the built-in tendency toward greed in all of us, why would we take the focus off Jesus and turn it upside down? And this is from a listener out of Arizona. This is Tony Turner out of Arizona. Thanks for the comment and the question to the panel members. Do anyone want to touch on this?
Well, I'll elaborate on that. I understand exactly what he's saying, but I want to add that when pastors, and I'm not talking about the one that I was speaking of earlier, but when pastors speak on prosperity in that manner, usually it should be, well, my personal feeling is that it should be done as far as regular members are concerned, people that are seasoned, you know what I mean, in Christ. because it is important to speak on prosperity. But when you have new people in Christ coming in, new people coming into the church, and one of the things that turns people from the church is coming in the church, and all they're hearing about is money, 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 money. You know, they don't, people that are not seasoned don't really understand that. You know what I mean? But if you have someone that is well seasoned in the Word, understand tithes and offerings and things like that, then that's great. But you should always understand that there's people in there that do not understand, and that's where a lot of pastors go wrong. It's like, for example, I just left the church. I've been coming a little bit more, but I just left the church. The whole conversation is about prosperity, the vision on the wall, being building the church and prosperity, and people do not understand that.
Okay, so what are your takes exactly then, Mocha D, on it?
Well,
what's the big confusion? Who's the author of confusion here?
Well, of course, the devil is also confusion. But the big problem is you have to always understand that everyone is not where you are. You know, everyone is not where you are. And a normal pastor should have that gift of discernment. And there should always be an explanation prior to diving into something of that magnitude, which is prosperity on earth. Because normally when they preach about prosperity on earth, they're usually about to ask for something or tell you how to go get something, and it's not all about the money here on earth, definitely, you know. So he needs to explain both directions. If you're going to have that sermon, be ready to explain it in the other direction about heaven. Actually do that first.
Okay. Evelyn or Sweet Tea, I know you've been kind of quiet back there. Did you guys have anything to share on that?
No, I just basically was saying I don't have no comments on that one. Basically,
okay.
I had a scripture I wanted to read. It's Colossians 3, and this scripture is not just for baby Christians, it's for mature Christians. And the principle, it says, since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So this principle stands for baby Christians, and it stands for mature Christians. There's no point in our Christian walk where it's okay to begin focusing on earthly things, because this is a temporary life, and all this stuff that people are accumulating is going to rot away one day. And so these preachers and elders and ministers, they should be teaching all believers how to trust God, how to be strong in God, and not how to, you know, basically making financial prosperity into a gospel. It's one thing if you're a believer and you want to take your personal time out to teach believers about how to, you know, balance, you know, their checkbook and how to, you know, set up mutual funds and or how to trade on the stock market. That's one thing. But when you take that and then you make it into a gospel, now you're turning a financial teaching, and it's becoming a heresy, it's becoming a false doctrine. Because it's perfectly fine in your personal life to take believers aside and teach them how to financially, you know, be prosperous. When you take it and you make it into a gospel, you make it into a ministry, that's heretical. And we don't see any such example of that in Scripture. The only time the apostles spoke of ministers dealing with money in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and he called them false teachers. He called them false teachers. So,
okay. Okay, and definitely appreciate that. I want to definitely open up to some people that are calling in. I also want to try to touch on some things that some people in the chat room are saying as well. I know we have Prophet James. He's out there, you know, voicing his opinion. And basically he says that he believes that God wants us to prosper but not on the backs of his people. I'm definitely agreeable to that. Definitely keep the dialogue going in the chat room, y'all. And if anybody within the chat room is wanting to dial in, definitely do so. We're looking for you. We're going to open it up really quickly. I know some more individuals are calling in from California. We do have one of our good friends, Joe Jigga. He's our sports commentator. He's on the line as well. Did you have something to share in regards to prosperity preaching, Joe?
Can everybody hear me? Hello, everybody. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, nothing much, just hanging in there. I just one thing I wanted to share was, you know, I've experienced many times where I might be at the gas station or somewhere, and I'd run into somebody who's obviously, or you know, they proclaim to be a churchgoer or however, and you know, the first thing they might start talking about is getting this money, being prosperous. You know, God said, "Ain't gonna get out there, they gonna get this $1 million." You know, and my personal feeling is you know, not everybody's meant to have $1 million. Not everybody's meant to be rich like that. But you know, I think, and it's probably, I mean, they probably coming off that way because this is what they're learning or hearing in church from their pastor or preacher. But you know, being prosperous doesn't just mean money. You know, you can be prosperous in health. You know, you can be prosperous, you know, as far as your life, be content with what you have. That doesn't mean don't shoot for the stars.
Speak up a little bit, Joe. Joe, speak up a little bit.
Okay, can you hear me now? Better?
Yeah, just keep it loud.
All right. I mean, you know, so you can be prosperous in many more ways than just being a millionaire. I mean, you know, like you said before, you know, all these things of the world are majority of these things of the world are temporary things. You know, I mean, you can't take this with you. You can't take this with you in a new system of things. So, you know, I think a lot of people get ahead of themselves. And you know, I mean, it's nothing wrong with wanting to think big and being financially secure. But you know, I think preachers should be held accountable for, you know, preaching prosperity, because a lot of times they do tie it in the only money factor and nothing else. So
right, great point of view. Thanks for definitely, you know, sharing that, and don't hang up. Stay on the line, want to hear from you more. I know we have, sounds like we have, oh my goodness, we got some West Coast people on the line. Do we have Zoe?
Yeah, this is Big Papa Zoe. I'm on the line.
What's going on, man? Tell us something good. What's your take on prosperity preaching?
Well, I just wanted to, I'm glad everything I was hearing was sounding real good, but there was one thing that the Lord was really been working through my heart for the last couple of weeks, and it's like, because I'm a big gambler sometimes, I hit the casino, and it's about that money, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to hit that money without trying to sell no dope or anything like that, and, you know, I work and everything, but when you get into gambling, it becomes about the money, and then you turn around and tell everybody you're a Christian. But the point I'm trying to make is, God said clearly, it is harder for a rich man to make it into heaven than it is for a camel to make it through the eye of a needle. Now, that right there does not take a rocket scientist to tell you. If he wanted us all rich, why would he tell us it's so hard for a rich man to make it in? That kind of just puts me in the state of mind that he's trying to give us a clue, like, I don't need you rich, because this is not going to last. You know, it's going to be too hard for you to get into heaven if you're rich. You know what I'm saying? Now, he didn't say you can't make it in, but he said it's harder. Now, I mean, to me, if somebody tell me it's going to be harder for me to get a house if, you know what I'm saying, if I don't get a job, then I think I'm going to go get a job. So with God saying all that, with God telling us it is harder for a rich man to make it into heaven, and our main goal as a Christian is to make it into heaven, I mean, that should be the biggest clue right there. I mean, if it's going to be so hard for me to make it into heaven if I get rich, why am I struggling so hard to get rich?
Right.
Wow, that's deep. You feel what I'm saying? I mean, it's 1, 2, 3. It's ABC. It's education 101, but it goes by everybody. And these pastors that are preaching, yeah, you need to get rich and you need to do this and you need to tithe to me or I'm going to lose my church. And you know what I'm saying? My thing to that is, if you lose that church, you can't lose the church, because Jesus is coming back for a church. We're the church, first of all. They're talking about losing this building. Okay, if you lose that building, I would say that maybe God had a little hand in that and saying, you ain't doing the right thing there, because he's not going to let his right thing mess up. And if he does, it's only going to be for a good purpose later, to come back stronger. You know what I'm saying? So I just think that we should strive more in trying to save souls. And I mean, first of all, our own, because a lot of us, you know, and the Bible tells us this, a lot of us are going to be talking about, look, I brought everybody to the church and I helped everybody get saved, and, you know, what about me? Because I have that big problem myself. I tell everybody, you know, don't go gamble, you know, because that's the devil's house and you can't win, because the Bible says even if you win in there, it's going to go through your hands like sand. So you ain't going to be able to hold on to nothing, is what he's saying. But I'm the biggest hypocrite in that, because I'll take my butt right back over there, you know what I'm saying? So I think there's going to be some, man, there's going to be some hell to pay for a lot of us that think we Christians, that are talking this good mess about Christians, but when we look in the mirror at the end of the day, can we really say we stood up before God and the kingdom like Christians to ourselves, not just to everybody else who think, yeah, they talk a good one. You know what I'm saying? And they're a good person. They go into heaven. They don't know what we do when we leave them. You know what I'm saying? So first of all, I think we should all check ourselves on a daily basis, because all you have is that day. You don't know if tomorrow's coming. And we plan too much for tomorrow, next year, 10 years from now. We'll put a down payment on this and a down payment on that, like we're going to be here. And this is our biggest thing. You know what I'm saying? We so caught up in planning for the future, we can't even think about right now, having fun right now with the Lord and saying today, okay, I've been a sinner in the past, but today I'm going to do the right thing. You can't change nothing today, because if I meet Jesus today, I'm going to be able to say, Lord, look, today I tried my best to, you know, serve you, announce you, study your word, do what you wanted me to do. And that's all you really have.
Yeah,
a lot of
definitely.
A lot of us
Hello?
Beat ourselves up.
Yeah, and definitely on that point, though, definitely, you know, agree with you. Because one second, because Jesus warns against the effort to lay up treasures on earth, and that's what, well, you know, when you hear prosperity preaching, you know, it's all about these worldly treasures on earth. It sounds like we have Monique of Debonair. Was that you?
Yes, it was, and I heard everything, and I'm really glad he made that point. And I just wanted to ask to that the Bible also talks about, you know, you have not because you ask not, and you ask and you still don't have because you're asking to fulfill the lust of the eyes and the flesh and everything else, and that just all brings on the fulfillment of Mokadi saying that pastors, these things are intentional, because pastors know that, and that especially for newcomers coming in the church, they don't know that we're supposed to have, you know, completed everything, getting ourselves right with God before we even start to, you know, have anything on the earth, because he tells us to seek him in the kingdom of heaven first, and all the things will be added unto us, you know. And it's crazy, you know, how this world is, but we have to understand and know that this is the devil's playground, and this world is not our home. We're supposed to understand that it's not set up for us, and we need to be spiritually discerned, you know, because things like this will happen, and if we read the Bible, we'll know that this is just another sign of the end times, you know, when pastors are going to bring on these doctrines and bring on these kind of, you know, goals, when it's clearly known that we're supposed to seek first the kingdom of heaven, you know, and what are we wanting to be so prosperous on earth for? Is it just so that we can help out the church, or, you know, further the ministry? So that's also something that needs to be in mind. What are we trying to get so prosperous on this earth for, if we know specifically that tomorrow's not promised for us, and that you know, we can die tonight, and what have we built on in heaven, you know?
Exactly.
Great point for pastors. If we have any pastors that want to chime in, definitely it's great.
718-664-6543. Zoe, you said you had something.
I just wanted to elaborate on what she was saying. A lot of people say, and even I heard pastors say, that this is the devil's playground. But the devil is not playing. There's nothing playground about this place. This is his war ground. And what this is a battle. And if we don't have Ephesians chapter 6, 11 through 24, our armor, our whole armor every day, he puts it in there. He gives you the armor. You know what I'm saying? If you don't put it on every day, you will not succeed out here. You cannot stop doing stuff. Like, you might say, I'm going to stop doing this, and I'm going to never do this. But if you don't have your armor on, like God told you to put on, because the reason he told you to put it on is if you don't put it on, you can't stop the fiery darts that come at you, you will not succeed. You cannot succeed. So you have got to put your armor on. You have got to focus on seeking first the kingdom of heaven. If you don't, you are doing the wrong thing, and you need to quit lying to yourself.
Well, yes, I like to, this, Sweetie. I like to speak on what you said.
Speak up, some, Sweetie. Speak up a little bit.
Can you hear me now?
Go ahead.
I like to speak on what you said earlier, though. First of all, I'll take my head off for you so you amend that, you know, because a lot of people practice what they don't practice what they preach. And
right.
then, you know, and a lot of people, I tell them, like I tell my husband, you're pointing fingers at me, four fingers pointing back at you. Maybe you need to figure out what you need to do. So my whole point is, on that note, at least you acknowledge what you need to do as far as gambling. You know, you ain't just preaching it. You not judging nobody. You speaking for, like, you know you ain't all just all that. You know you got issues that you need to deal with, and that's a star right there that God loves you for that you know you need to work on and you need to pray on. You know,
right.
So so when you were saying that, I was just like, you know, that's real good, because a lot of people was preach something and they the main ones out there doing wrong. So
sure.
To yourself, you know what I'm saying, yourself,
right.
That you need to work on something. So
right,
you know,
right.
I give you props for that.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to, You want to respond to that, though?
No, I think Jed wanted to say something.
Okay. Go ahead. One at a time, y'all.
How y'all doing, everybody? How y'all doing?
All right.
Yeah, all right. I just want to say, you know, everybody got some good points, and it's true that we're not promised to tomorrow, but you know, I don't think God would want his, you know, his real peoples, the ones that's fronting, but he want his real peoples live good here on earth too. You know, it says, you know, I don't know exact scripture where it said, but I didn't read the Bible. I just don't be remembering half the stuff I be reading. I can't quote it like some people that's good quoters. It's in there that he wants you to live good, you know, and he don't want you broke down, starving. If you living for God, he don't want you just doing bad here on earth. If you really doing for God, he going to bless you with all the stuff that you need, and I really believe that. A true person that's running with God, that's all the way faithful to God in Jesus Christ, he's going to live a decent life. I mean, he might not be rich, you know what I'm saying, but he's going to be prosperous. If he's a true soldier of God, he's going to be prosperous, because God's not going to have no other way. And that's just what I believe, because the people that I know that's really into the church, that's really true at this, They not going around asking people, oh, can I borrow some rent money, or can I get some gas money, or can I get some? They leave all their troubles up to God, and he take care of them. And I know people like that. And you don't hear them calling people around, everybody, because God takes care of them. He makes sure this is handled. So God don't want nobody doing bad. No, we not promised to tomorrow and all that. But a true soldier, which I'm trying to find my way to God, and I'm a Christian, and I'm trying to find my way to God. And I would hope when I do get all the way to God, because God knows I was selling drugs. You know, I'd been to prison and all that for selling drugs and all that. And I wanted to do the right thing. I was living good selling drugs for the devil. I'm selling drugs for the devil. I'm killing my own people and was living good. You know, I could buy anything I want. Now I can't go buy them $100 pair of Jordans. I can't go get that new Zoo suit. I can't do nothing no more, because I'm fresh out of prison and I don't have nothing. But God want to see me work for him now. And he's going to bless me 100 times more than what I was making working for the devil. And I really believe that.
Let me comment on that, though.
I want to, you know, definitely put it out there as far as the individuals in the chat room, some great dialogue going. We want to hear from y'all. So Super TEB, Big Daddy 44, Yes, I'm Judging, Prophet James, all y'all. We want to hear. Let the listeners see what you guys are talking about. So call in 718-664-6543. Go ahead, Zoe.
Okay, I wanted to comment on that, nephew. That was a very good point you made,
right.
And I also congratulate you on making the point that you haven't really read the Bible, you haven't read that script, you've heard of that scripture, and you might have seen it once or twice. But with every scripture in the Bible, nephew, you got to remember this: there are some scriptures before those, and there are some scriptures after those, and so you need to get the totality of what he's saying when he says he will prosper you for doing his work. See, God's prosper is in heaven. His prosper is not down here. Everything down here is dirt. Everything down here is going back to dirt. So you got to understand, if you have a whole bunch of things down here and a whole bunch of money, you have a whole bunch of dirt, because sooner or later, you and all that stuff will be laying in the dirt. Only thing that will last is your soul. What he's talking about prospering is your soul. See, when your soul gets prospered 100 times, then you can save 100 people. And that is what you're doing. You're building your treasures in heaven. You got to understand what he's saying. He's not talking about, I'm going to prosper you with a big house and a big car. And just because you see those Christiany Christians that you think that's doing it, that give every problem to the Lord and don't never have no problem, don't ever ask nobody for no bill, just because you see them never doing that doesn't mean they're not doing that. Because, see, God promises you one thing. Jesus promises when he came back, you serve him, and you are going to have trials and tribulations. If you don't have trials and tribulations, if you don't have trials and tribulations in your life, something's wrong. Okay? Mm-hmm.
On that note, let's take a quick meditation on that. Though, great, great point. I want to open it up. I know we had some more people calling in on our panel. I want to definitely say welcome to Kevin Oliver, a.k.a. Not Your Typical Negro. And we know we have Faith and Reason back on the line also. Welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
Hey, all right, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Definitely. Great to. I know you're just chiming in for a quick second, so I definitely wanted to open up for you. So you can go ahead and share as far as prosperity preaching. I know you're just chiming in right now, but definitely share your opinions as far as the topic. And we know you have one when it comes to it.
Well, I want to say hello to everyone and thank you very much for having me back on. I've really enjoyed the discussion last time. I just want to say two quick things about, I guess, the prosperity preaching. And number one, I don't know where to start, but but number one is that I guess I would say to not be fooled regarding the intentions and what prosperity preaching is all about. Nowadays, prosperity preaching is being sold as being holistic, meaning that it's not just material wealth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's trying to be expanded now to be as well as prosperity, meaning your health, meaning your business life, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you and by the way, your soul too. Now the soul is something that's more of an afterthought now, and the reason for that is because mostly all of what they've been teaching regarding prosperity has not been really successful. But at its core, it's all about it's all about materialism. It's really what it is. Even though they may throw in some extra stuff with it to try to make it seem like it's not just about that. But in another quick point I'd like to mention regarding prosperity is that people seem to think that, you know, that it's all about just a handful of prosperity preachers, and that the body of Christ and people need to be focused on more stuff than just a handful of prosperity preachers, because there are more issues in the body of Christ that are more important. And I say to that it's not necessarily the prosperity teaching, but it's the theology that supports prosperity teaching. There's a whole theology, which is, I'm pretty sure someone has already mentioned that has elements of New Age and Eastern religions. And the theology that supports prosperity teaching is not just taught in prosperity churches. It's taught in mainline denominations. All kinds of churches teach some part of this theology in one form or another. So people are getting upset and thinking it's just people attacking prosperity teachers, but it's not prosperity teachers. It's the theology that demotes God and deifies man. And that's pretty much what I wanted to say about the whole thing.
Okay. Wow, yeah, definitely great points. And I'm going to put it out there for you, Kevin, because he has some awesome, awesome videos on YouTube. Kevin, go ahead and give out that URL.
If you just go to YouTube and search NYTN, or if you search Not Your Typical Negro, you'll find my videos. A lot of people will ask me, well, why do you call yourself Not Your Typical Negro? Why do you refer to yourself as Negro? Well, if you go to my page, you'll see why.
Now, this I want to just read a little small scripture of Timothy 4th chapter, and the part that states, and then I'm elaborate on it, the part that states, it says, "For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry." So a lot of times we have to, of course, a lot of ministers are trying to appeal to people that have a lot of money in a lot of situations in the church, and I've been a victim of that as well. And they want to say what those particular the members want to hear, the ones that have that fat pocket, and it's not right. So basically, you never know, and I want to also comment on what the young man, I believe it's Jesse, was saying, but you never know when you are in the presence of angels, you know what I mean? So you have to stay ready. God is not interested so much in your pocket being fat. That's great if that's what desires are. God is interested in your obedience, period, point blank, simple. And as far as Alonzo was saying, as far as the money and the casino and all that type of stuff, you know, I have to really look deeper into that, and maybe one of the other people on the panel could look at that. I have to really look deep into that because I've gone to the casino myself. And what I don't do when I go in the casino is spend my rent money and my light money and my gas money. So maybe you guys, someone on the panel, could teach me a little bit more about that because I'm very interested in that point. But what I wanted to say is God is solely interested in your obedience, period. A lot of people, what Eliza was saying, is people are going to go through trials and going to go through tribulations. People handle that differently. I go through things on a daily basis. Does it affect me harshly where I'm going to turn into the sinful world? No, sir. I'm not going to turn to sin. I'm going to keep my eyes on my Father. I'm going to keep my mind on the Word of God. You do have a choice. Am I going to run and say, I don't have no money, I got to go in the casino, I got to get this money? No, I'm not going to. So it's up to the individual. We do have a choice. So everybody don't necessarily have to go through deep trials. I mean, we're going to go through something, but how are we going to go through it? Are you still going to say yes to God? Are you still going to focus on God? Yes, I am. And that's what separates people. You know what I mean? That's what separates the true Christian. What will you do in these times of trials and tribulations and sufferings? What will you do? Will you still seek my face? So
I think like a lot of people,
on that?
A lot of people take scriptures and they conform it.
Okay, who is this? Who's this speaking?
Oh, this is Joe Jigga.
Okay.
Okay, like I feel like, you know, with preachers, they take scriptures and conform it to what a lot of people are struggling with in life to make it seem like, okay, this is what you need to hear, you know. And then secondly, you know, the Bible says, you know, a lot of people take this scripture, you know, and use it in this manner. They'll say, you do the works of God and he will provide you all the desires of your heart. But yet, do you really stop and think, you know, when it, even though the scripture may say that, you know, you can't forget, it's not discussing fleshly desires. So are part of your desires fleshly desires? You know, and that's one thing that, you know, people need to think about, because, you know, if it's a flesh, then God is not going to desire you anything fleshly, because that's part of the world. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I think, you know, people need to take heed of that also.
Okay, okay.
Let me comment.
And I want to say really quickly also to the individuals that are dialing in to the 718 number, our phone lines are really jam-packed. So once you've said your piece, once you've talked, definitely go ahead and release the lines so we can get some new people because we're trying to – the lines are so jam-packed. But go ahead, Jesse.
Yes, a comment on Auntie. You got a good point. You was one of the people that I was really, you know – you know you struggle. Everybody struggles sometimes. I take good care of you because you're a good person and you handle your business, God. And I think God helps you in a lot of ways. You know, just because you stay fast to the Bible and all that stuff. And that's why he keeps you where you at and where you going. He's going to bless you with a whole lot more because of the type of person you is. Stand fast to this. And I really believe that. Just because you go to casino, like you said, you don't go lose your rent money. I mean, casino is for entertainment. I mean, you got an extra $5-$10 you go. But once you start losing your rent money and you can't feed your kids and you talking about you lost this and you lost that, I did because I had a gambling problem. I was sinning. That's when we came in, when you sinning, you just gambling crazy, losing thousands and lost everything. You do it. I think my opinion might not be everybody else's, but it's a respectful way how you do it. You don't gamble like I do, like you know a lot of people that gamble. You're nothing like that. And God's going to keep blessing you with a whole lot more, and I see it coming because of the type of person you is. And you're the type of people that I'm talking about. God's not going to see you and your family and your kids without. He's not going to do it. I mean, you're not rich, but he's not going to let you just go down. I mean, even if he do, it won't be for long because, you know, you're going to come right back up because how your faith is, because you know you're going to stay fast. As far as Zoe was saying about the God setting up riches in heaven, you know, that's true. I set up riches in heaven and, you know, it's really weird, you know, because a lot of people say, you know, he won't, it's not about money, it's not, because we're not promised. So, you know, it's right. But you gotta eat. You need it in this time. You gotta eat. You gotta pay bills. You gotta do a lot of stuff to live in this life to get to the next day. So to sit up here and say you don't have to need no money to get through this day is just that's not the truth.
Right. And I don't think nobody's saying that. Definitely on that note, definitely hold tight. I want to open up. We have about 30 minutes left in the segment, so I definitely want to give everybody the opportunity to speak if they would like to. And what did you say, Jesse?
I said, I'm just saying, I didn't mean you cut me off like that, but I'm just saying.
I'm just trying to give everybody the opportunity, and I definitely feel that your point was made, but we're going to come back to you. Scrap, I want to open it up to 770-418. Welcome to the show. Did you have something to share as far as prosperity preaching or something that someone on the panel has already shared? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yeah. This is Super TEB. I tell you, as I was listening and kind of chatting on the side there, one of the things that I hear, and it's definitely of a concern, is that sometimes there is certain emphasis on teaching to the point that it almost appears to be to the exclusion of everything else that is vital and important to a healthy relationship, being a born-again believer. Having said that, I think one of the things that's important to kind of keep in mind with all of this is that the Scripture tells us plainly that the Lord had came to Abraham and he had told Abraham that I'm going to make you a blessing and your seed are going to be blessed after you and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then we fast forward up into Galatians, and it talks about those of us who are in Christ, we also have that same promise. Now, I know the big issue is that it belies or behooves people to think that somehow or another we're being taught that we're to seek after money, when actually I'm looking at 1 Timothy 6 here. It says, on the contrary, matter of fact, 1 Timothy 6 says, if anyone teaches, let me see here. I'll wrap it up real quick here. If anyone teaches false doctrines, this is the new international version. If anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree with sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee all these and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called, and when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And I'm going to drop down here to verse 17. That was verse 11. Here's verse 17. So there's a context for what our attitude should be as it relates to those who have issues in terms of seeking money. But on 17 it says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. So he's not saying that it's a problem with you being rich. He's saying it's a problem if you're trusting your riches to take care of you, because your money can come and go, but you're going to always need the Lord. And that was the issue. Someone had made a statement about it's harder for a man to enter into the kingdom of God than it is to enter through the eye of the needle. But if you go back before that, it was a rich young ruler who said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he says, well, you know the commandments. And he says, I kept them from my youth. He says, well, you lack one thing. Sell what you have. Didn't he tell him, sell them everything? Just sell what you have and give to the poor. And the man went away. Why? Because he had great riches. Well, we understand that to mean that he had more faith and more trust in his riches than he did in the Lord. The Lord is calling us to have abundance so that we can be a blessing, so that we can be rich in good works. But it's really hard to be rich in good works if you don't believe that God doesn't want you to have anything to be rich. Because, see, if you're seeking his will and his desire, then your desire is going to be that I want to do good. What's good? My brother has need of a car, and I got an extra car. I got two cars. I got three cars, as a matter of fact. I'm going to go be a blessing to him. But if you're thinking about, I want to get everything that I can that I have, and then and trust in that, it's going to be taken away from you. But that's it. That's all I want to say. Sorry.
Man, wow, I'm glad you said
point.
That. I am.
Great point, Super
right.
TED.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say something.
Go ahead, though.
Yeah.
Do I need
to hang
I'm
up?
Glad you, TED, I'm glad you said that, because that kind of elaborates on what I was going to say about the person that said they just go to the casino and just spend $5. They don't mess with their rent money or nothing. And that's what I'm talking about. That $5 could have went to help one of your brothers and sisters in Christ. This is what you don't understand. When Jesus came back and died for you, he bought you with his blood. So everything you have and everything you do is supposed to be for him, because when he created you for him and by him. The Bible says everything was created for him and by him. It doesn't say you can take what you have, because it's not yours, and go out and say you only spend that $5. But what about somebody who needed that $5? And one day, what about when you look back and need that $5? And those $5 add up. And the lady that said that knows that when you go to the casino, it ain't always just that $5. You can make that mistake and spend a whole lot more than you have. And I'm sure she has, and I'm sure everybody who has ever went has. So you can talk about, I'm only going for fun, but what you are doing is you're taking that $5 out of the mouth of one of God's children just to have your fun. At that time, you're being selfish. How is that fun, taking $5 and losing it, the $5 that God woke you up and blessed you with to use for
the kingdom, even if it's for you to buy some food or to buy your neighbor some food or that poor man sitting or that widow over there sitting, or find out who needs that $5 in the kingdom, or your family, somebody around you.
Can I say one thing real quick? I'll be real quick.
Yeah, and then I want to definitely keep it orderly, and I had a couple questions also, so then we'll get you, Mocha D. Go ahead, Scrap.
I just want to say to that, I mean, the $5 thing, when he talking about going to the casino, like I was saying, because I know he's here, because I was talking about my auntie, the $5 thing, in the casino, it's all, this world is revolved around, it's a cycle. I mean, it's a cycle where everything goes through. Everything is for a reason. You know, a casino is a business. It's an entertainment. People got gambling problems, and a lot of people lose all their stuff, but it's a business. It's just like Knott's Berry Farm. It's just like Magic Mountain. You might go to Magic Mountain and spend $5, get in, and then you end up buying everything at the park. But who says you could have gave all, just because you went to Magic Mountain, you could have gave all that money to the homeless shelter too, or everything too. But God wants you to enjoy yourself too. Just like when you go get your money to the casino, that's paying for the Indians that ain't, you know what I'm saying, that got all their land took, you know what I'm saying, by a white man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So everything happens for a reason. It's a cycle. So just that $5, just because it's not going to the church, it's still going somewhere where God wanted to go. So he put that in there, so he's paying some people that deserves it or probably need it more than we do. Yeah, they got a lot of money, but it's a cycle, and it's a revolving door, and everything happens for a reason. It's like the chain of the wildlife. You know what I'm saying?
You know,
the lion.
Yeah, and
lion gets
the
lion.
But no, definitely want to.
$5 probably turned out $2,000.
You know what? And also, you know, this could definitely be, you know, a topic of, you know, for another segment when it comes to, you know, the black church as far as gambling, because I'm getting a lot of things via instant messenger for some of the listeners. One person is saying gambling is like setting an order for the god of good luck. So definitely a different way of thinking on that. I want to definitely steer and stay focused to prosperity preaching. Want to ask Super TEB, I think you're calling from Atlanta number. So just curious as far as the church that you attend, and what are your thoughts on prosperity churches being a cult? You care to elaborate on that? I don't even know if we still have them on. Are you with us?
I'm still here. I certainly am.
Okay.
And actually, I attend World Changers. Pastor Dow is my pastor.
Okay, the king of prosperity preaching. Huh?
Well, some would say that. I guess I wouldn't, but
I think some would differ. But go ahead and elaborate on that, if you will.
Okay. On what in particular, please?
As far as prosperity churches being, and I don't even really want to say this, but prosperity churches being a cult.
Well, I can't speak for a lot of churches. I can only speak for where I'm at. And our statement of faith, or the statement of faith as been articulated over the pulpit, is that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We believe that he came on this earth. He died for our sins. He rose again. We believe that he sent Holy Spirit to lead and guide us in all truth. We believe that we're going to be raised again with him, and when he comes back, we're going to be judged for our works. So, I don't know if cults believe in all that. Jehovah's Witnesses, I know, don't believe in all of that, but I know in my church that's what we believe. So from that perspective, and that's all based on Scripture, so I can only talk about my own personal experience. I tell you what, I wouldn't be doing the Jim Jones and drinking a Kool-Aid if it wasn't that, because contrary to popular belief, not everyone who attends World Changers are idiots. There are a lot of intelligent and smart people there, and so the thing that you have to really kind of pay attention to is, as the Scripture says, is, how you hear. Be careful how you hear. And it's very easy. Even when Jesus walked this world, he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I'm telling you right now, we're Christians and we're believers, and we're having some differences in terms of our understanding of what the Lord Jesus meant on certain things. We expect it from non-believers, because the stuff that's being taught is spiritually discerned, and because they have a carnal mind, they're not really going to understand it anyway. But when Jesus makes a statement like that, if I'm trying to witness to someone, they key in, like we may key in on someone like a Pastor Dow or someone on something that, on a statement they may say, But we get these unbeliever people who don't even have a clue, and they'll key in on something like that, and they would say, well, what does he mean by that? Well, the interesting thing about that scripture was Jesus turned to when he made that statement, a whole bunch of people were offended by what he said. And they turned and walked away because the man was telling them, he was basically telling them to eat his flesh. And he said, of course, everybody's wondering, what kind of doctrine is that? He turns to Peter and he said, are you going to leave me? And Peter and the rest of the disciples after that said, no, Lord, you have the words to eternal life. So how you hear what's coming forth will really drive how much of what you'll be able to receive. For Mark 4 talks about, based on what we hear, the power will be released to us on that. So I hear things differently when I'm sitting in the ministry, and I got to be honest, nobody's perfect. So even when he says certain things, I honestly let it go off my, you know, I'm like, okay, whatever. I eat the meat and I spit out the bones, and that goes for anybody. Because as we all know, no matter what they say over the pulpit, if it don't line up with Scripture, don't receive it.
Right. Great points. I want to open it up really quickly to Evelyn. I know that she touched on some of her beliefs when it comes to prosperity preaching and cults. And I don't know if that was in the beginning of the segment. Evelyn, do we still have you on the line?
Yeah, I had to call back. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. If you don't mind, I want you, you know, because we do have a lot of new listeners that weren't in the beginning. So go ahead and talk a little bit as far as your point of view when it comes to prosperity preaching and as far as the cult is concerned.
Well, regarding a cult, you don't have to have a extremely heretical doctrine to be considered a cult. There are churches, institutional churches, that are cults. Even though their doctrinal statement sounds biblical, when you go to the ministry and you sit there and you look at the behavior of the ministers and the lifestyle and the way that people follow blindly almost after the minister and kind of try to explain away their heretical behavior and their heretical teaching, it's cult behavior. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you're not a cult just because your doctrinal statement sounds orthodox. It could be the behavior of the followers of the pastor that could make that institutional church a cult. But when it comes to prosperity heresy, it's not a small difference of we disagree on a pre-tribulation rapture, post-tribulation rapture. It's a big difference, which is the gospel. They're preaching a different gospel. It's not the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. If they take scripture from the Old Testament and scriptures from I think it's 3 John. They take a scripture from 3 John where it talks about prospering in your body, and they mix them together and twist them together and come up with this heretical teaching. And they also take from some New Age, New Thought teachings, and I'm pretty sure that Kevin can expound on that more because he did a lot of research on that. But I used to be in the New Age movement, and so when I hear these teachings mixed with the scripture coming out of the mouths of so-called Christian preachers, it's disturbing, and it's not just take in the meat and spit out the bones. It's arsenic. And when there's arsenic coming out the pulpit, you are not to follow that teacher. You are to avoid them, like the Word of God says, you separate yourself from them. You don't continue following after them if you detect arsenic coming out the pulpit, because that little bit of arsenic is going to poison you little by little.
Exactly.
Perhaps Kevin can expound more on the New Thought teachings that are in the prosperity movement. But I used to be into the New Age and the New Thought stuff, and I do hear those teachings mixed in with the teachings of Kenneth Copeland and Creflo, and it's very, very disturbing to me to hear that.
Amen.
I want to just add one thing to that. You are supposed to separate yourself from people like that, but it also tells us we're supposed to pray for our pastors, because, see, we got to understand one thing about pastors. They just men. They're just human just like us. When they take on becoming a pastor, they are getting attacked by Satan and his angels more than we are getting attacked. You know what I'm saying? Us sinners out in the world.
I don't know if I would say that.
You know, and so.
But a pastor, first of all, the scripture, when someone's preaching arsenic in their teaching, the scripture does not call them a pastor. It calls them a heretic. A false teacher. It calls them a false shepherd. Jesus Christ called them wolves in sheep's clothing, and he also called them hirelings because they don't really care for the sheep in their heart. They have a form of godliness, but when it all comes down to it, they're all about themselves. They're all about their little kingdom prospering. So it's one thing when you have an elder that is off doctrinally here and there, he makes mistakes, but when you have someone that is preaching a different gospel, this is the central message of the Christian faith, that person is a heretic. They're not just a pastor that's making mistakes. A mistake is when you aim for the right target, but you miss. When you willfully, you get up there and you preach a heretical teaching, and it's a heretical gospel, that's much more than a mistake. That is called, in First Galatians, in Galatians chapter 1, it calls that a false gospel, and it says that the reward of that is damnation or anathema, condemnation. So we're not just talking about a mistake. We're talking about a serious heresy. And it is very, 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 very serious. It's very dangerous. So we shouldn't minimize when people are going around. I mean, if I could just say this real quick. When it comes to other religions like Mormonism and the Jehovah's Witnesses, Christians are very serious about it, and they're quick to point their finger and say, oh, they're preaching a different gospel. But when it comes to professing Christian leaders, all of a sudden Christians shut up. All of a sudden they say, just pray about it. All of a sudden they say, touch not mine anointed, and all these cliches. But Jesus Christ warned us not just about false prophets and different religions. He warned us specifically about those who come in sheep's clothing. So we're not to, when a leader stands up and preaches a heretical teaching that damns people to hell, we're not to explain it away by saying, oh, well, they're cursed, they're not perfect, just pray about it. No, we have a duty to cry aloud and spare not so that sheep will know to avoid that person.
You know, and I have a question for you, Evelyn, and I just want to put it out there that we have about 15, 20 minutes left in the segment, but a question that someone is posing to you, Evelyn, is how do you know what's on these pastors' heart, these prosperity preachers? How do you know what's on their heart or what their intentions are? You know, so how can you say that?
Folks say you can't tell, and we don't know everything about someone's heart, but Jesus Christ said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when people say things, that's a reflection of what's in their heart. And so when people are going around saying, preaching false gospels that are a mixture of a love for money and a mixture of New Age teachings and things like that, that's a reflection of what's going on in their heart. We don't know everything about their heart. We're not omniscient, we're not all-knowing, but we can know some things about what people are dealing with in their heart. So that's how we can know what's going on, is by what they say. Obviously, their life.
I want to elaborate on what she's saying.
I want to speak on what she was saying about the preachers and the pastors and everything, and Christians are quick to say, let's pray for them. That is what we are supposed to do, bottom line. But I want to say this. It is very important to remember what Alonzo was saying. They are mere men. They're mere men. Just like Paul, I mean, he had started off, you know, when he was Saul, and he hated the church, and he talked against the church and everything. Then he turned to love and understand what Jesus went through in the church. We're men, and we are women, and we are subject to error. We are going to have error. So we do have to continue to pray for them. There is a pattern. There is a process. Not a pattern. There is a process. And you cannot just cut the head off of someone, because by them being mere men, it was a process for them to get to the position that they had. And you have to understand that they're constantly learning. There's pastors and ministers that constantly going to school, constantly reading, constantly learning. And if there is error found, you have to understand this man has proven, obviously, at some point that he loved the Lord. Why are we so quick to cut someone's head off when they're showing, when they're showing that if he's saying out of his mouth that he is a man of God and he made a mistake? What do we do to our brothers and sisters that make a mistake? You're not dead. You weren't always a Christian woman. How about if someone cut your head off, you know, or cut you through you out of the church? No, you said, look, I made a mistake. I'm ready to get it right. You understand what I'm saying?
What happened to that? What happened to judge not lest you be judged?
Whole context of that scripture is talking about hypocrisy. We're not supposed to judge in hypocrisy. Like Christ said, you pull the beam out of your eye before you point out the splinter in somebody else's eye. And then he continues down in that same chapter and talks about how we're supposed to judge prophets that come to us because they're going to come in sheep's clothing. So not everyone who says they're a pastor is a pastor. I'm not convinced that Creflo Dollar is anointed of God. I'm convinced that somebody ordained him and somebody gave him the qualifications in this world, but I'm not convinced that the Holy Spirit has anointed him and given him access to the sheepfold of Christ to minister. I'm not convinced. So I'm not. It's not an issue of him being imperfect. It's an issue of, to me, he's not even a Christian. He is a wolf in sheep's clothing that preaches a message that is very attractive to people who are struggling and
it's not based on you. I thank God, Crystal, that the total salvation is not based on your opinion because you sound like you would put a lot of people to hell, and that's not right.
Well, you know, everybody is definitely.
Everybody is different, though.
One at a time,
because everybody is different what they believe in. Like you said last time, Uncle D, as far as you don't believe in Muslims and all that, and they going to hell because they don't believe in your father.
That's the same thing.
I will comment on that. You said the Muslims and the Jews and don't believe in your father is going to hell, and we couldn't believe when you said that.
Here's my point. First of all, I told you exactly what I meant about that statement. What I'm saying is, listen to me, Sassy. There is no in between. There is no straddling the fence. Either you're a believer and a follower, or you're not. Creflo Dollar hasn't done anything to show nothing, but he is a believer.
But I'm talking about
everybody read the Bible, that's a big thing, even saying
anybody going to hell.
Not what I said. I'm going to get into all that.
Okay, you guys, we have about eight minutes, so I definitely want to keep it orderly and be able to, you know, get the points across. And Mocha D, I had muted you for a second, but you're unmuted. Sweet Tea, you're going to be muted for a minute. go ahead, Mocha D.
Okay, like I brought up, my phone's about to die. Y'all probably happy. But like I said about the Muslims, and I'll say it again, that they're worshiping the moon god, and that's not my father, which art in heaven. And if you don't get to my father only through Jesus Christ, you ain't getting to heaven. So deal with that.
But that's the whole point I'm trying to make.
Mocha D, and everybody else. I want to say something, you know, because, you know, I don't want to, you know, have our listeners listen and we just condemning everybody to hell. So, I mean, there got to be a.
Listen, you got to remember that this is my opinion.
I haven't heard anybody condemn
anybody. The only thing I was saying here. As far as what you were saying, Mocha D, early, as far as you were telling her that who her to judge people. And that's just going by what you're doing right now, judging somebody else.
I'm not judging it. If she continued to say whatever was said, what she was saying is that you're not listening, sweetie pie. You're not listening. And I'm not going to go over all that because we ain't even got time. Play the show, Teresa. Go back, sweet Sassy T, and listen to the show.
Well, you need to listen to the show, but you said they was all going to hell. Maybe you need to listen to it.
We're talking about something totally different right now. What I'm trying to make a point, and if you listen to the beginning of the show, it'll tell you that my opinions is not necessarily yours. So if I feel that this
That's
is the way to salvation, if this is the true way to salvation, then Christians should not condemn Christians. Because we are, like Lorenzo said, we are human beings. We are people, and we are subject to error. There is only one perfect one, and that was Jesus Christ.
Like I said,
I have an opinion. That's all we're doing, sweetheart, is giving each other's opinion. She don't have to agree, and neither do you.
I didn't say that anybody was going to hell. I said that Cecil O'Dollar, I'm not convinced that he was cheap. In Malachi chapter 3, at the end of that chapter, it tells us that the servants of God discern who served God and who served him not. So if I say someone doesn't serve God, I'm not saying they're going to hell. I'm not condemning them. What I'm saying is that they do not serve God. And I'm not judging based on my personal opinion. I'm judging based on what does Christ say is the standard of the gospel and what is coming out of this person's mouth. So I'm not using my personal opinion. I'm not saying I'm not condemning him to hell. I'm just saying that I'm not convinced that Creflo Dollar is a servant of God based upon the standard of Jesus Christ, not my own standards.
Amen.
Wow. You know, and furthermore, when I was in the New Age movement and I wasn't serving Christ, I didn't pretend to be serving him and call myself a Christian. When I was a servant of Satan, I said I was a servant of Satan. When people come around the people of God to fleece them and they claim to be Christians, but they're really preaching a different gospel, that offends me, not because of my own personal standard, but because of what the Word of God says, you know? So,
May I make one last, I just wanted to get this in. Just to kind of dovetail, because the name of Creflo Dollar came up earlier, and I heard the brother mention that he was a member of Creflo Dollar's church. And I'm sorry, this is Kevin, by the way. My sister is a member of World Changers Church. She's an attorney, and she's highly intelligent, and her husband as well. And I'm saying that because the brother made the point that there are a lot of intelligent people at World Changers, and I wanted to make the point that intelligence really doesn't have too much to do with the reasons why people attend certain churches and why they attend certain churches and are part of certain kinds of ministries. And Creflo Dollar has said publicly many times, he said that God is not in control over planet Earth. And that is the statement that he made in context. And yes, his statement of faith may say that they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, et cetera, et cetera. Their statement of faith may say all the right things, but and I'm quite sure there are a lot of intelligent people that go to the church, and I'm quite sure that a lot of people that attend that church may indeed love Christ and love God. But the fact of the matter is, Creflo Dollar is teaching something that is anti-Christ. When he makes the statement that God is not in control of the earth, that means that statement has a number of implications that must be dealt with, that have to be addressed. And it's not a matter of being personal, something being personal against anybody. I think that that Evelyn made a very important statement. I like what she said. The standard is not what I think or what you think or what anybody thinks or feels. It has to be based on what Christ himself taught and demonstrated. It has to be on what the scriptures clearly and consistently teach. And nowhere in the scriptures does it teach that God does not have control over earth, over the earth. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And if you teach anything... Yeah, amen. That's all I
want to
say.
I want to say something really quick, you guys, because our time is almost up. We have 2 minutes, so keep that in mind. I want to put out we're going to definitely continue this discussion. Keep it going. Y'all can go ahead and go to www.groups.yahoo.com. Word to the wise. That link is in the chat room, or you can go to Yahoo Groups and then just put in Word, WORD, the number 2, the wise. We'll definitely keep this going on that Yahoo group. Great discussion. I want to give it to Mocha D for last words, or Papa Zoe, who's on the line as well. And if we
have let Papa Zoe say one more thing. Let Papa Zoe say one more thing. Listen, to the lady that was talking all that stuff, you know what I'm saying? I just wanted to say one thing. If you just read Romans when we get off of here, and just look how in Romans Paul was telling Jesus, you know, everything I don't want to do, I do. Everything I try not to do, I do. And that could be Reverend Creflo Dollar's or any other pastor's problem. I know I've had that problem. And if you are a pastor, you have to remember this woman.
you are subject to these demons. This is a war we're in. These pastors have a bigger war than us. That's why we are to pray for our pastors. It is in the Bible. You need to study a little more. And just remember this.
Wow.
Don't give up on Creflo Dollar, because he is one of God's chosen ones to preach God's word. If he's saying the wrong thing, ask the Lord to touch his heart and mind, and read Romans and see how Paul was messing up and God still saved him, because we are going to mess up if we serve the Lord. We are going to come through trials and tribulations. The more we serve him, the more we're going to come through. Okay, go ahead, Mokadi.
Great stuff. Great point. I want to put out there really quickly also that, you know, I definitely appreciate everybody who chiming in tonight as far as, you know, your points of view, your beliefs. You know, we're not knocking anybody for what they believe, for whatever churches they go to, you know, as long as you're getting the word. Mokadi, go ahead. Okay, guess not. Jesse, did you have anything to say? Okay, well, we're going to go ahead and close it up because our time is up. Definitely want to thank everybody for chiming in tonight. Make sure before you exit our Blog Talk site tonight, subscribe to receive alerts to future shows. We do have a wealth of great things coming forth in 2009. We will definitely have a part three to the Black Church series, a great segment tonight. Thanks again, everybody, Mocha D, everybody in the chat room. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.